What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode. And before we start this episode, I want to encourage all our listeners to please subscribe and rate our channel. We definitely appreciate that. Also, feel free to give us feedback. Like I said, all three of those things, we definitely appreciate it. I just want to start the show off and letting you guys know. And here's another episode. I hope you all enjoy it.
What's up, y'all? This episode is sponsored by Park Hill Consulting Services. If you are interested in learning how to purchase your first investment property, or you need some help getting your finances in order so that you can purchase your first investment property, just contact us at www.parkhillconsultantservices.com and we can get you started. We hope you guys enjoy the rest of this episode.
On the way to the top floor, I ain't selling out though, but I'm on the way. Got a lot of real, Mr. Motivate. Hold all the moves, I'ma play and play. On the way.
Motivation for all the real ones, nigga.
On the way. On the way to the big check. You ain't know I'm up next, but I'm on the way. You ain't take risks cause you too afraid. I'ma just eat till I'm overweight. On the way. On the way.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. My name is Deanna Kent, and I'm sitting here with my co-host, Xavier Miller.
What's up, what's up?
And today we have another dope guest joining us on the show. He's a serial entrepreneur and Subway franchisee, and he's doing a lot of dope stuff within the community. His name is Ralph Diesel. Welcome to the show.
What up, y'all? Thanks for having me. Appreciate
We'd have been going on and on if he was naming all the things he's doing. I was going through it. I'm like, man,
this is too long.
Like, sometimes people, I feel like they abuse the word, like, serial entrepreneur, but you truly a serial entrepreneur, like, for real.
Hey, I got the game, man. They said you need 7 streams to really be a fruitful millionaire, man. I'm trying to get to those 7, man.
Yeah, I feel you, bro.
We already at 7, but we're trying to ramp them things up.
Exactly. And just to start off, the first question we always ask our guests, so to everything you're doing right now, what was the start to that? Just giving a little background on yourself.
Man, everything I got going now started with me chasing my true passion of entrepreneurship and dumping my nursing career. I'm actually a nurse by trade.
Wow.
That's the true source. That's the true source of it all. I went to nursing school. I come from a family of nurses, African immigrants. So that's one of the fields that they really hop into. And it's good enough money. You come from the villages of West Africa. Believe me, man, once you come in and you making, even if it's close to 6 figures or something stabilized, man, you're going to take that and run with it. You know, that's a massive blessing in comparison to where you come from. So that influence was passed down to me. I went to nursing school, graduated, got licensed and all that, but it wasn't the passion of mine. You know, I'm a newbie nurse. I'm going to work 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, giving me the boo-boo shifts. Meanwhile, all my friends are at the clubs. All my friends are, you know, not making nearly as much money as me, but they're lifestyling. I'm making the money, but I'm sleep all day. I'm working all weekends. It's like, man, that wasn't it. So I was one of the ones that, you know, took that risk and say, you know what? I'm going to take this leap, man. My family wasn't too happy with it. I stopped working as a nurse, and I was full-time at AutoZone, believe it or not. Went there full-time. I had a passion for cars as well, but I always had a passion for retail. I was always the one to go to Smart & Final and buy a box of Airheads, and then I was able to retail them and make double off of that. So those principles were there while working at AutoZone. And from there, the next phase of getting into really what I'm doing now was I was fired from AutoZone. When I was fired, I had no other choice. I had my first son. My wife, I had no other choice on bringing in income, so I had no choice but to, I wasn't going to sit back and depend on another job to hire me on. I had to create that one way or another. So I started buying cars from the police auction, I remember my first flip was a Honda Civic I bought for $250. It was impounded. I don't know why it was impounded. I couldn't drive it for that long. It was probably involved in a driver. You never know. So that's a risky take, man. I bought it. I think I put in about another $150 into it, and then I ended up retailing it for like $750. That was my first flip, so I made $350. I think I bought some groceries, and then the rest of it I reflipped again. And then I think my second car was a Honda Accord, and then I flipped that from like $600 to like $1,250, and then I just kept growing it from there. So that's the second phase that got me to where I'm at now. I learned my operational experience via AutoZone, management skills, supply chain, things of that sort. That taught me that. Then the streets taught me on, you know, how to, you know, be able to sell, you know, especially when your life depended on it. And I converted all that into Subway franchises. I have a clothing line called Royal Dynamite. I'm involved in a lot of different other things, you know, that really, you know, hone my skills on a daily basis.
Wow, man, and that's pretty much a yeah. lot, right? That's a deep backstory for real, though. And like,
yeah.
like getting to the Subway franchise, either that's so dope to me. And I feel like,
thank you,
oftentimes right now, I feel like the franchising aspect in business is kind of like overlooked for real. It seems like a lot of people overlook that part. So, what made you want to get into franchising a Subway?
Well, man, you're right. The franchising aspect of things is really overlooked. But reality is, the minute you walk out of your house or your job, I could say within the next two blocks, 75% of those businesses are franchised. Exactly. So why not hop into something? I'm not trying to recreate the wheel. Right. I'm trying to come into something that's going to, for one, the asset is automatic wealth. And then two, it could help me accumulate wealth by a system that's already there. So that's how I chose franchising. Subway came about in a real weird way. I was actually in the process of buying a cleaning franchise. You know, those cleaning franchises that you see go in into corporate 9-to-5 buildings afterward, mm-hmm. and you see them with their backpack vacuums and trash cans they clean up there. I was going to buy volume of that. I think I was going to buy about $15,000 worth of volume for about $45,000. And I was in the process, went to the meetings, you know, got my franchise disclosure document, and everything was set. And one night I was asleep and I got a voice in my head, which was obviously God, kept saying Subway, 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 Subway. And I couldn't shake that, couldn't shake the thought. It was like 3 a.m. Ironically, it was at 3:16 a.m. I remember that. and he just kept saying Subway, Subway. And I picked up my phone off my nightstand. I just started researching and I started looking at all the requirements and I was comparing it to the cleaner franchise I was buying. And they told me how I could go about matching those requirements or making those things happen. I said, okay, hold on. It's not too far off. Yes, a Subway, Fortune 500 billion dollar brand, you know, global brand. It's not that much different of getting, it's not that more difficult to get into versus a cleaner franchise local out here in Southern California. So I started researching it. I couldn't go to sleep anymore. I think I went to bed at like 1. I woke up at 3 with the voice in my head. I didn't go to sleep the whole next day. I started to text my friends like, yo, fellas, I think Subway's it. Subway's it. And for some reason, they didn't shoot it down. They didn't deny it. They're like, yo, you know what? It may be it because the way you're coming at us, it's 4 a.m. You're supposed to eventually, you text and say, right. The voice is in your head. No, it has to be. There has to be some true meaning behind it. I sent in the application and they hit me back saying, hey, we want to set up an interview with you. I went into the development agent's office, man. We sat down, talked. I took my Wonderlic exam, which is like it's an exam that you see a lot of pro athletes have to take. You can't just, you know, have the skills on the court. You have to know basic math and English. It's the same exact exam, that NFL players and NBA players have to take in order to even be considered for the draft. So took that, we passed that with flying colors. And I think that actually set a precedence with them. Like, yo, probably got one on our hands. This guy passed it with flying colors with ease. And then we took the process from there. So that's how Subway came about. Franchising in general came about because I didn't want to start something that I needed quick income. I had my second son. I had just bought my first home. The entrepreneur lifestyle is kind of getting to that level where it's like, yo, this is that scary part. You know, you got an actual mortgage now. You got two kids, a wife, you know, little flips here and there. That's not going to work. You got to structure this into an actual operation now. No more flipping. I can't depend on that anymore when I know my kids have to eat,
right.
You know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, with me, I could probably, okay, I didn't flip today. Let me go buy a couple noodles. Tomorrow, flip. Okay, let's go buy a steak, you know, surf and turf. So I couldn't really do that anymore. I figured franchising was a good way to diversify from my car dealership. So, man, I'm already dealing with that. You know, let me try to open up something else, a different type of business. And that's what pushed me into franchising. And eventually that pushed me into Subway. And eventually, it's going to push us into way more.
Way more. Even way more. Hell yeah.
We're working on that now.
Man, that's incredible, bro. Like, for real. I know it's probably people that's going to listen to this. They're going to be like, so is this possible for me to do that? So is that like franchising, let's say a Subway, is that like, I don't want to say, it's definitely not going to be easy, but is that possible for, I don't want to say anybody, but is it possible for somebody that's committed to trying to do it?
Oh yeah, definitely, man. As you guys see, or if you follow me on social media, my mentee, Chris Williams, that was the same question he asked, and we created a franchisee out of him. Mm-hmm. All it takes is a certain focus, and all it takes is the understanding of playing chess at this level. Is like a corporate game of chess now. Okay. You don't just run in hastily, and just because you have a 650 plus credit score and you have 100 grand in the bank, that doesn't automatically make you a franchisee. There's lots of other aspects that come into it, and there has to be a relationship built. We're talking about getting let into a global, a multi-billion dollar brand. They don't just take that lightly. It's kind of like, to certain extent, it's kind of like a secret, you know, society. It's kind of like a family of sorts. So not everyone gets in just based on having money or account. If that's the case, everybody will be a franchisee right now. So it definitely is possible. It's just about understanding the principles of basic business. Basic business is playing chess. Y'all are in real estate. Yeah. You know, you're not about to go, you know, tell an agent that you have this, or you're not about to go tell a construction, a developer that you have 100 grand for this flip. You're going to try to cut that down to 30 and then have them build your. So those little principles are implemented even at this level or even in this sector of business, man. But anybody could do it. That's one thing I realized, man. This is me getting into Subway and expanding into Subway was it was one of my like top dreams come true. Wow. Just because it opened up so much avenues of wealth and it opened up so much opportunity. But it was really a dream that literally, like I told you guys, it was literally a dream that came true. So if it came true for me with having zero background, zero knowledge of franchising, and I was able to do it and I created others in doing it, then, you know, it's kind of self-explanatory. Anybody could get it done. Man.
Right. And that's what's so dope about that to me is like how you was in tune with yourself, like waking up, you know, having the dreams, hearing like something tell you, like, go do this. Like, I feel like a lot of people ignore those signs and those voices. And that's why they never really actually end up doing something. But you was like being in tune. You got to be in tune with yourself to realize that and be like, you know what, I'm about to shoot for it and do this.
That's definitely, man. And it starts at the basis of knowing that you're a true king or queen, man. At the end of the day, a true king or queen is meant to lead. So if you're hearing these voices and you're seeing these things being implemented to further prove you as a king or a queen, then why, you know, how can you ignore that? So it all really starts of self-knowledge, like knowing your stuff, like you said, man, being in tune with yourself, energy, vibes, all those types of things, man, they really do play a factor in. I was in tune with myself. I knew exactly what I was capable of. I knew where I came from. I knew the risks I took. Those risks didn't kill me. Those risks didn't have me hit ground zero. I'm laying here now in my own home, things that I sort after being fired from AutoZone. Yeah. Man, if I'm getting this premonition now, if I'm getting these thoughts, Subway, first of all, it was very intimidating. Subway, oh, man, nah.
Yeah, right.
That's how this world goes by. Yeah. That's why a lot of people are intrigued with it, like Subway.
Yeah, right.
Another aspect was like, you know, people are like, Subway, like, why Subway of all people? You for the culture. You know, we got Ross with Wingstop. We got Ross with Checkers. Mm-hmm. We got Shaq with Papa John's. We got all these other brands where naturally via the culture, you'll gravitate to there. But I wanted to open up a door that was definitely untapped into. Yeah. I mean, it's to the point where if you tapped into the culture and you think Subway, you think in Ralph Diesel, you think of Chris Williams. Why? Because we opened up a door that never would have been thought of. And that was really one of my main pushes and excitement that gave me excitement. It's like, yo, you know what? That's a brand that nobody's into. I can get in and I can be the leader and forefront within this. The culture will come behind me and I'll be the one up front making the move. So I said, you know what? This one has to happen. You know, and that's exactly why we did it, man, to be honest.
That's
great. And if I'm not mistaken, you are the youngest black male owner of multiple franchises, right?
Yes, I could still say so as of now. I haven't heard of anybody else, but when I did acquire my second one, factually, before my 33rd birthday, I was the youngest multi-owner in North America. They can't give me stats outside of the U.S., so there may be a young franchisee out in Turkey somewhere right. that's killing it. But in North America, I know for a fact I am, or I was, and even as of now, I haven't heard anything about that. But my young gunner, Chris, man, my mentee, you know, he's definitely going to surpass my record. And at the end of the day, I love him. You know, that's what we're doing. Yeah. I love it now. The harder I can have him go, the harder we can partner up on different things and really excel. So, you know, it's really being selfless in this game. The more selfless you are, the more the blessings are going to come in, because the time and effort I'm going and creating someone else, it's not about the hype. It's not about the social media likes and things that sort of on me having being able to, you know, have this accolade upon me of being the youngest multi-owner. Nah, I can have my young gunner Chris do so. And the more he acquires, he's locked in with me, the more we're going to benefit down the line. So exactly. Keep going, young man. You know, keep going, everybody else. Man. I'm encouraged that for sure.
That's why it's so dope. And that's what I always preach about. Like, it's so dope being a business owner, because not only you get to do business, you get, you know what I'm saying, you get, it's things that come with that, but you also get to help others, hiring mm-hmm. people, you know what I'm saying, hiring people yep. in the community, yep. giving jobs, all that stuff is like, yep. that's so yep. dope, because yeah, you, right now we at a time, you'll see a lot of people, especially on social media, like they go at business mm-hmm. owners or people with wealth, but it's like, yo, yep. you ain't looking at it from the, they getting these tax advantages or whatever, they helping people on the back end for yep. real, you know what I'm saying,
yep.
giving jobs yep. in the community, all that stuff, it's like, that's yep. what it's about to me. Yeah. So that's
exactly, extremely man. Dope. And that was a new aspect of mine. I never had this many employees. I had a trucking company back in Sierra Leone, and we had like man. Two drivers and like a bookkeeper. But that wasn't really on the level of what I'm doing with this now. I have 16 to 18 families at any given time that depend on me to exactly. stay on point, to keep those doors open. In order for them to survive and provide for their families. So that's a different feeling, man, knowing that any move I make right now can affect 18 other families. It really puts that pressure on you to keep going, and you can't quit. Realistically, I can't just disappear off the face of the earth today. Oh, I give up, that's it, blah, blah. Nah, these people depend on me to keep those doors open one way or another. So that's definitely a different feeling, man. Yeah, there's the tax advantages, there's things of that sort, but the blessings, man, when people come to me for a job.
Yeah.
And I'm that unconventional employer, man. We're not going to just, oh, you need a job, apply online or fill an application out. You know, it's not cookie cutter. It's not robotic with me, man. To be realistic, and this is a game, you know, even for those that need that 9-to-5 in order to help push them into entrepreneurship and try to get as close as possible to the source. Some of my employees will sit in that shop from opening. They know I will touch the shop at least once during the day. They'll sit there from opening. They don't know when I'm coming in. They'll sit there all the way sometimes till closing for days at a time, waiting to catch me directly in order to sell it directly to me. Like, yo, man, I see what you're doing. I love what you're doing. I love this shop. I've been in here. I'm looking for a job. I have two kids. I have this and that, boy. I'm a hard worker. And I'm that type of hire. You know, I'm that type of employer. I'm going to give you that look right then and there. So that's one thing. That's another beauty of what I do now, is that I'm able to really affect lives of what I'm doing, yeah. even with just a simple Subway job, quote unquote.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think it's dope, like, your employees and the people who come into the shop can look and see somebody that looks just like them and started where they started, and can really inspire them to go, you know, take the same route, or, you know, just go push towards their dreams.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm on the front line. If you guys are ever, man, you guys are in LA, you got to pull up on me.
Yeah.
My shops are in Rancho, but I'm on the front line making the best spicy Italians and the and the best turkey bacon avocados. I'm showing my staff that I'm right here with you. You know, if you guys see me grinding hard as the owner, and I'm wearing the same exact uniform, I'm not in there with my collar shirt on, tie, you know, listen, hey, you guys do this, that. It's none of that, man. I'm throwing on my tee with the Subway logo on, and I got my snapback to the back. We breaking a slight sweat. We pumping out these sandwiches because I want to show them that I want to get it directly from the bottom, you know. The difference is, you know, they get kind of, you know, mad when people walk through the door, I'm the happiest when they're walking in because I know it's going directly in my pockets, man. But it's a different mentality, and I understand that. But I just want to show them that I'm still at ground zero. We're still going to do whatever it takes to get there, you know. And that's my brand in general, man. Showing the culture, like, look, you know, we're going to do whatever it takes to get to where we need to get to.
And that mentality is so important, like just staying on that ground level, because there's so many people that when they start getting a little success, like it gets to their head easily, and it's like
one thing that really one time, the first day when I actually showed them, I got this photo, I'll share it to you when we hop off on my IG. It's a photo of Nip, and I'm standing there, and Nip has on some gloves, and he has his hands on my shoulders, smiling. That was my first time telling him that I'm about to push forward on the Subway franchisee. And what's so ironic about that, I'm telling you guys, I'm at ground zero, still doing what I'm doing. He was lifting tiles out of a old beat-up pickup truck with Black Sam, lifting tiles himself. Nipsey Hussle the Great, lifting tiles up into a restaurant that he was about to be opening up, Baba Leo's. It's right next door to the Marathon Clothing Store. And for me to see that at his level, because all it is a click of a button for him, snap of a finger, they're doing whatever they need to do, especially with the King being in the parking lot. But when I saw him lifting out them boxes with the dust on his shirt, with gloves on in and out, I said, okay, who am I to think I'm any bigger, you know, to think that I don't need to be doing these basic things. He was doing whatever it takes to get the job done. If him lifting in those 20 boxes of tiles increase the opening day or increase the time towards opening day of that restaurant, he was going to do whatever it took. And it was the same principles on my end. If me being on that line is an extra helping hand to bring in that money that the customer has in line, man, I'm going to do what it takes. Once it slows down, I'm out of here, but we're going to do whatever it takes to get that bag right then and there. So when I saw that, especially on the first day of me telling him I'm about to be a franchisee, and I saw his happiness, and I saw him at the grounds on ground zero at the Marathon store lifting in tiles for further construction. That really opened up my eyes and said, okay, you know what? It's a different level. It's a different grind at this level. It's a different grind that's needed.
And that's so interesting that you say that, because it's like I told you in the beginning, like me and D, we like the biggest Nip fan. I've been a Nip fan since 2010 when he came out with the Marathon tape. That's when I first.
You're a true fan. Right?
That's when
I hope you weren't going to say Slauson Boy too.
Nah.
Don't get me wrong, man. Okay, so you're from the Marathon.
Yeah.
You post bullets and got no name. Yeah. Okay.
So that's when I caught on. I was a junior in high school, and I was I got my first job, and we listened to that the whole summer. And since then.
When we met, that's
the first artist I put her on to. Okay, and like we would always have conversations. I'm like, man, like I ain't trying to be like same, like, because you know we in the era where like everything considered dick riding. And I would always say like, man, Nip, he seemed like, I don't want to say he perfect, but just like I don't know him, but he seemed like the super, like a genuine, like a real dude. Like what you growing, for those that's listening to this, that they might not know, like you growing up, you grew up with him. So like this guy, we don't want to go too deep in it, but like what kind of person was he truly? We see all the shit on social media and all that, but what kind of person was he like firsthand?
And to be honest and be realistic, what you saw him now, you know, what he was doing for his community, the love he always gave to every single person, to, you know, him stopping his car just to take a photo with a fan. He was always that person. First off, man, he was always the most popular person that we always knew. So that's why, to be honest, man, that's why we was kind of best friends, because like, yo, in middle school, man, the one that got all the girls and that's all popular, he a basketball star. It's like, man, shoot, that's who you want to be your best friend, bro. Now, so it was deeper than that, but that was kind of one of the things that, looking back now, he always had it in him. He was always the most popular. Man, that guy would get straight A's with ease. So Gangster Nip and things of that sort that you see, believe me, it came with the actual algorithm behind him. This was all a plan to become the Nipsey Hussle, the great that you saw prior to his passing. He was the smartest guy that I ever knew. That's for a fact. I would struggle, man. I had good grades. He was valedictorian. There's a photo on my page we both took where he has a gold rope around his graduation robe. But he did it with ease. He would play basketball all day or get in trouble in school and this and that, and still come in tomorrow and ace the test. Meanwhile, I would actually have to study, go home, turn the phone off, and you know, lock up in my room and actually study, and still probably get a B or maybe a C if I was really tripping. He would come in straight A's with these, man. So that was always in him. He, you know, the smart man that you guys saw as of late was really him. The hustler that you saw in him was really him as well, too. And that was really based off Big Bro Black Sam. Anybody that knows Sam from back in those days, Sam was always the ultimate hustler. Sam was always a CD man. Back when burn CDs were a hit, Sam was always a candy man. That's where I got mine. Like, okay, shoot, Sam going to Smart and Final and buying suckers and selling them for 50 cents, even though he bought them for 10 cents, I'm going to do the same. He always had a notepad where he would write his goals. And we laugh about it to this day. Every time I see him, I'm like, bro, you've always been this person. I remember one of his goals was a 2001 Honda Accord. Because the homie Nigel, who lived down the street from him, had one, and his goal was always set on that. So every day after school and back of the bus, he'd have his notepad out, new fresh page. He's writing down his new sets of goals. 100 CDs, 2001 Honda Accord, various items. So obviously, you know, if your biggest influence is your older brother back then, it's going to pass down on to you. Mm. And no, I wasn't surprised that I was passed down on to Nip himself. So the hustler, the smart, educated man, without a high school diploma, that was always him. He didn't need a high school diploma. That was really, it's just like, I don't have a bachelor degree or anything like that, but I could probably gross more than, you know, people with MBA. So he really didn't need that. A lot of people ask why I think he dropped out of school at such a young age. He was way past high school. He could have been doing an MBA program back then had he had the right resources around him, you know, in the hood, but you know, the streets were his MBA. That's where he really learned how to, you know, supply chain, supply and demand. So those things were really in him from the very bottom. When I say a loving man, you know, there'll always be a feel. Whenever I'll see him, there's a difference between industry Nip, you know, family Nip, and then just raw friend Nip. And every time we would link up, let's say in the industry, there's always that one feel like, man, looking to each other, I was like, man, my bro, like, finally, an authentic one that knows me from the very bottom. And that's why you would see us handshake, man. It'd be for so long, man. We shaking hands for 10 seconds, double brother hugs and all that stuff. Because we both got that feel like, okay, we're going to do what we got to do, be out on the scene. You know, we're doing this snap. But whenever we would link up, it's like, man, what's up, my brother? Love you. We'd always tell each other we loved each other and all that stuff because it was that raw, authentic love. He was raw when it came to, you know, showing love to anybody. That's why he was good in every hood. Nobody kind of untouchable. It's kind of a shame that his own hood touched him, but he can go into the most enemies, gangland, and you know, nothing happened to him because he had love all over, man. And he gave love. Yeah. It wasn't just love because he's a superstar or, you know, he's one that made it out the city we grew up in. It was love because he actually gave that back. You know, he's wearing red. I'm not, right. You know, you're not my enemies. I'm a Crip, but I'm wearing red. I'm flamed up in my own hood. You know, things like that really played a role, and that was a real authentic Nipsey Hussle, man, for sure. Music, man, seeing him break down the music that fans all over the world, you know, say inspired him, to see him personally break that music down and to give me background on it and all that stuff, yeah, that was kind of like, I really feel like, okay, I'm really a blessed man to have gotten that from ground zero. Just because, you know, a lot of people would die for that now. Like, man, can I have Nip break down, you know, his verse on Higher and what that was about? Like, okay, we got that in general, man. Yeah, man.
Yeah,
sitting down breaking bread, you know, eating ribs together, him talking about business, talking about family. He wasn't a party animal, man. Like, everybody would probably think, yeah, if he was out, he's hosting the club. That's just because there's a bag put up. Other than that, you know, he's at the office. He's at his home office with wifey and the kids sipping some red wine, you know, relaxing. Man. He was, you know, he wasn't heavy drinking. He wasn't just popping bottles. Hey, nah, he was sip some wine and relax. You know, maybe for when the cameras is out and all that stuff.
Right.
Brand yourself, yeah, that's fine. But other than that, he was a smooth wine drinker, man.
that's real, man. That's like, yeah, man. You can't even see. We got the two murals. We got two Nip murals up right now in our office. So you can't even. So it was like, we was definitely like affected by that. But just like what I noticed after his passing, it was like an extreme like resurgence of black ownership business, like being definitely talked about more than ever. Like that was like it was terrible, but that seeing that part was just like, man, like I think like this was making like, okay, his message did get across, because he's been talking about that shit forever. Like, you listen to his music, he always talking about being independent, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. owning his shit. So it was like to see that conversation happen was like, wow. Exactly. Bro. Yeah.
And I feel like for us being the closer ones to him, we have to continue to show that example, because then if you think about it, it doesn't reflect well on it. Were you just preaching that and this and that? Okay, if you had that much influence, why your boys ain't doing that? And this, exactly. That's kind of the pressure we have right now. Even when I link up with some of his team players, it's like, yo, bro, we gotta, man, you know, we sick right now, but we gotta keep it going, because it's actually a reflection of, bro, we don't want that negative look on, okay, you know, he was pushing, you know, all money in and ownership and independence, but you know, we pushing 9-to-5s and things of that sort. It's like, it's kind of contradictory. So that's the fire we got. And hopefully, and again, you know, that's the fire we have. And just like with Nip, we have to push that onto the culture and create others like us, which is exactly what you see us doing now, man.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't want to go too deep in it, but like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, that's what really got me into like business for real. Cause I remember, The song, he be like, we got 8 businesses, 8 of that's bankroll. And the song, he say, equity all in my deals. That was like 2015. And I'm like, I was in the military at the time, and I'm listening to that. I'm like, yo, this crazy. Like, this to see him transition to that, to go talking about being vertically integrated on his album. That was, man, it's crazy, bro. It's like, I could go on and on about it.
Exactly, man. And to see him do it. And it really worked. That was the supreme motivation. I have three main motivating factors in doing what I do in business. One of them is my cousin, Kai Kamari. He's a pro soccer player. Okay. I saw him from ground zero, from the streets of Sierra Leone to moving out here and grinding out in Hawthorne to get to where he's at, where he's a legend where we're from, literally a legend. Then there was Nipsey Hussle, obviously from ground zero again. These are two of my male best friends growing up. To see him make it from a literal ground negative one, not even a ground zero, ground negative one. And every time he would get to ground zero, they would take him back 2 steps to all the way, you know, being up where he was at now. And then Issa Rae, another friend that I grew up with, went to school with, couple buses on the same corner of Kershaw Slauson, for me to see her at ground zero, work with her at ground zero to where she's at now, those are things that told me that I could do it as well. You know, I needed to find my lane. You know, I tapped into their sources from whatever angles. You know, there was never any handouts, really.
Right.
Actually, not even really. There was never any handouts needed. And I think that's what really proved myself as an entrepreneur to them, saying, okay, look, you're not just coming because you have my phone number. Yo, let me get, you know, invest in 10 grand in me and I can do this and that. No, it's like I always came with something to the table for all of these, you know, big influencers in my life. So, you know, for me to see them three make it, you know, that really proved to me that I can make it. And I want to be that same story. You guys, I show my grind all day, every day. There's no route. These don't just pop up one day with a suit on with multiple subways behind them. Right. I want to show the exact process so that others can know that, okay, I can do it as well. If Raul did it, 3 kids, this and that, man, hey, I could do the same, man. You know, if Raul's still able to go to soccer practice with his sons and he has 2 whole subways, 18 employees, 3 kids, saying he still got time for that, you can make it happen as well, too. I'm no different. I'm no machine. I bleed red. You know, I breathe as well. There's nothing different about me. If anything, I'm blessed, but that's because I pray for it. Pray for it yourself, too, man.
Yep.
You'll be blessed indeed, you know?
Yep. That's some discipline. Get involved. That's just discipline. And,
there you go.
Something else I want to touch on was, because I know you do Airbnbs. Mm-hmm. And I know that's like pretty kind of popular right now as well. And just for somebody that's listening to this, I know a lot of people want to get involved. How can someone that's hearing this, that like, I want to get involved, how can they start doing that as well?
Man, so with the Airbnb aspect, that's actually an arm of my investment firm. And that aspect is headed by my best friend, Obiama.
Okay.
Again, same thing. Just like I woke up one day saying, hey, y'all, franchising is going to be a way for us to go. Everyone could tap in one way or another, but I can lead this angle and open up the doors eventually for everyone to come in. It was the same thing on his end, saying Airbnb, Airbnb, and he kept preaching it. And we believed in each other, and he's always believed in me. He's always supported everything I've had going. I believe that when he said Airbnb, if I was able to do it with the brand called Subway, I know he could do it with the brand called Airbnb. So he's the one that took the initiative on that. He went and did all the legwork. He went in and you know, dealt with all the property managers, and he set up the funding. He set up the apartments itself. He's the one that headlines that. And it's easy to tap in, really. It's just all about controlling your expenses versus the income it generates.
Right.
You have 30 days a month, and you have 30 days in a month. And if you know that your rent is, for example, let's just put out raw numbers. Let's say that the rent at a certain place you're getting is $1,500 a month. On average, you have to be able to rent that space out for $50 a day.
Right.
And so, but at the end of the day, you want to make money off of this. So it's not just about the rent. You still have utilities. You know, you still got to pay gas and light. You still have to pay for the internet, the Wi-Fi. You have to amortize the amount of money that you use in the furnished apartment. So he broke down all those algorithms and said, okay, there's money. This is how much money can be made after all of this. And he went ahead and pushed play. We all tapped in. I'm definitely, you know, I use my influence and things of that sort to push it out to the masses in order to get it booked. And I feel like it's one, I'm going to say locally, within the local LA culture, knowing who we are and knowing what we're doing, it's going to get booked up by the culture, because that's one that really supports some, you know, some brothers that are really doing it. And we booked, I mean, I haven't, I can't even stay in it because it's been booked up. I want to say that thing is booked up all the way up until, as of now, October, that thing's booked up to close to March right now.
Wow.
Like, you can't touch it. Yeah, you can't touch it at all. So, damn. Of course, expansion is on the horizon with that. Yeah, man. Expansion is on the horizon from that angle. We definitely got more on the way, trying to tap into different cities, man, exploring downtown LA. That's a big boy deal, though, just because of the overhead. But if we can get that algorithm right, just like the luxury one in Hollywood, you know, that'll work as well. You have Atlanta on the board. We got Chicago on the board, Houston, New York, you know, especially New York, man. If you could break into that, yeah, you're definitely making some headway. But that's that when it comes to the Airbnb. I would say practicing group economics is the way. From all of the ventures that I'm tapped into, is all about group economics. Yep. If I'm eating, you could come in and eat. You create something to eat. Let me come in and eat. That's how you're going to get to those seven streams. And now I can guarantee make this $1 million, because I know he's headlining that Airbnb. He's expanding us on that end, and I'm tapped in there. So I'm going to keep making the revenue from there. And don't worry about that angle. I got you on this with the Subways. I'm going to expand this, and you can eat off of this, and vice versa. So group economics is the key. Airbnb is a prime example of group economics going on. Trusting your brother to go ahead and take the lead, and encouraging him to keep it going, and investing him literally and figuratively to make it happen. That's a massive key. And I kind of think the culture lacks that, but like you said, once it passes, it's kind of like there's a refreshing of that idea, saying, you know what, you know, we got to practice this. We got to really make this happen, you know?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I know when I was looking at your page and stuff, you did talk about the Airbnbs, but I seen you kind of mention you're doing short-term rentals with cars as well, or is that kind
yes.
of, can you go into that a little bit?
So, yes, multiple angles. First off, before I talked to you guys about post-AutoZone and pre-Subway, I'm a car dealer. That's literally still is my bread and butter. Now, what we've done is just kind of taking that aspect of it and tapping it into a source that can generate more for us via Airbnb. So now you coming to LA, you want to stay at our luxury suite Airbnb? Well, at the same shot, it's just a one-time text message. It texts us, and we can get you a car rent. We can get you a car as well for that weekend, and rent that to you via Turo, or rent that to you just off top. So it's kind of like a package deal we wanted to do, kind of implementing an Expedia or Orbitz type model, where you know, you go and book a hotel on their platform, and they're offering you a discount on rental cars and flights and things of that sort. This is just a more grassroots, Black-owned model, using the sources we already tapped into. I'm already a car dealer. Turo is just something to really just sign up on. I can get the cars, list them on Turo. Those things are rent out on a daily. If we wanted to go with more of a long-term type car flip versus just the buy and sell. So and we attach that to the Airbnb, you have the option of renting these cars out when you rent out the Airbnb, and kind of just to give you a full lifestyle package deal. The Airbnb is right in the heart of Hollywood, so if you're coming out to Hollywood to enjoy your weekend, you might as well rent the Drop 6 and do that too, push it down the boulevard. Yeah. So just trying to double bang for, you know, just trying to make every entity more efficient. You know, instead of that one Airbnb just simply making us $150 a night, the Airbnb ended up making us $150 a night plus a 3-day rental, which added on another $160, you know, and now we just went from $150 to $310 about that same person. So just increasing productivity.
And that's an example of vertical integration right there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Obviously, if you're going somewhere, you need a whip. If you get, you know what I'm saying, you get your whip from me.
Exactly.
I can get you your place to stay. Yep. I can even get you something to eat at the shop. You know what I'm saying? So that's like,
exactly, man. Yeah,
exactly.
I could pull some of these coupons from Subway and get you a Postmate coupon. Yo, now you even get discounts on food orders. So but that's the ultimate goal. Now you just gave me an idea. I mean, I could be, you know, I could have, you know, Subway cookies on the counter for you when you do come in.
So now that money's coming in.
The idea.
Exactly, man.
Exactly, idea like that.
But yeah, that was the premise of everything when it came to that. That's definitely growing as well, too, especially with my brother Obi's firm, Escrow. Real estate, that's really the aspect of our firm. Escrow is really, you know, just like the name is, it's about closing deals via real estate. The first type of real estate we're dealing with is obviously these Airbnbs, but we will be going into eventual residential, fix and flips, fix and holds, and then eventually commercial.
Commercial. Okay. Oh, man, that's dope, man. That's super dope. And like, so so I want to ask this, like, with you having so many hustles and so many, like, you know what I'm saying, you got so many hats, like, I'm pretty sure people going to hear this and be like, damn, like, how you do all that? Like, how do you stay focused and how you maintain all this while having, you know what I'm saying, a personal life? Like, how you do all that?
Man, it's just literally all a mental focus, right, man. Days like this, days like a Sunday, I really don't do much. That's why we were able to book this on day like today, because I really take this time to break down my day. I really take down to break down my week. And then I take it another step lower and I break down each day. Then I take it a step lower and I break it down to the hour. And then I take it a step lower and I literally break my days down to the minute.
Yeah.
So, and I buy myself as much time as possible in the beginning of my day, because there is a percentage of plus or minus of error that could occur. I could get my beverage station down at my Hellman shop. Thank goodness I went so hard at the beginning of my day that I do have 2 hours to spare.
Right.
I can go work on that so I can keep operations going on that angle. I got a flat tire. I'm not tripping. I still have this podcast with Millionaire Mindset at 6. I'm so far ahead that I have time to change out this flat tire. So that's one way I'm able to manage all of these things. But I literally break my weeks down to the minute. Mm-hmm. And I don't break it down on the Monday through Friday aspect. I break it down Monday through Sunday just because I still need to fit in family time as well as every other aspect of business that I have going on. And family time does include Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. Yeah. So I need to break all that down. I can't not break down Saturday, and there's a margin of error for me. And now I took that away from, you know, going to the park with my sons. Or I can't even risk, you know, not breaking down my Wednesday. And now I'm messed up because I can't take my sons to their soccer practice after school. So I literally break everything down Monday through Sunday. I usually do that on my Sundays. And I suggest that everybody does that. Shoot, Siri works well on my phone, man. I'm talking to Siri. And then, you know, I set aside time in the morning to answer all my emails, correspond with different, you know, entities that I need to correspond with to set up meetings for the week and things of that sort. Everybody's on that same wave on Monday morning. You know, it's kind of like the world is universally sound. Monday morning, send out your emails and set up everything else for the rest of the week. So I'm definitely a firm believer in that. And just maintaining balance, man. Mm-hmm. It's not all about grind.
Right.
I'm kind of glad that I saw my brother Nip living as much as he did, because it would be such a shame that he grinded so much and he did so much and then he passed without really enjoying the fruits of his labor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad he bought the Maybach. I'm glad he did all these things because it's just, it's not all about the grind. One day you are going to leave it. So maintain balance so that you don't fall off. It sounds cliche, but you're going to maintain that balance between work life, home life, and even friend life, man. One of them always has to take a hit. I can't really balance all three, especially at this level, as much as I really wish I could. Sure. But my priorities right now are going to be my family, going to be my business. And then third, I would say, is going to be my friendships. You know, the friends that are really family, you are automatically in that first category. The friends that, you know, aren't family, quote unquote, and all of us have them, you know, you might get the last response of the day. Right. But I'm going to make sure I respond to, you know, these business associates. I'm going to make sure I respond to my family. And then we could talk leisure, you know, right after that. That was another key as well, to maintaining that balance, understanding what's really a priority to you in your life.
I definitely agree with that. Something that you said was so important was how you said breaking down your day. And like, and I study, like, I research and study a lot about like the billionaires and just like businesses like Amazon and family empires. I pay attention, yeah. Like read about those a lot because I just try to understand the mentality. And I was reading about Jeff Bezos once, and they were saying how he break his days down to 15-minute intervals, like to the T. He got each day broke down to 15-minute intervals. He said how it forces him to stay focused because I got 15 minutes to do this task. Let me focus all on this task. Yep. And with you saying that, I'm like, damn, that's a consistent thing with high performing individuals where they just not living like randomly, like they know exactly what they're doing.
Exactly. It's detrimental to just be living randomly nowadays. I saw an interview. Who did this interview? Somebody did an interview on Akon. I saw Akon do an interview being in the studio with Eminem.
I seen that.
Yeah, he was lifestyling, listening to that. Eminem was strictly 9 to 5. And I felt them on that. Eventually, Akon had to feel him. You know, you lifestyle, I'm Akon. Man, I'm going to go to the club. I'll be there afterwards. Eminem went, okay. When he got there, Eminem was going, where am I? He'll be back tomorrow at 9. And came in 9 on the dot. He knocked out the work. At 5 o'clock, you know, Akon's like, yo, we didn't finish the verse. No, let's just knock it out. Come on, man. No, I'll be back tomorrow. We finish it tomorrow. You know, so a lot of people might even think that I'm an asshole now in regards to that because, bro, I'll cut you off. Hey, you know, it's 3:45. My bad, bro. I got a ghost. Oh, well, come on, man. Just say, I got a ghost, man. We can continue it tomorrow. Because literally my life depends on me making that next move and hitting that goal within the next 15-minute interval. You know, I have so much going on. It could be, honestly, if I miss my payroll after 2 o'clock, in the afternoon PST, if I don't submit my payroll, they don't get paid that next day. So you really think that I'm going to sit back and keep keying with you and hanging out? And I know that might push back something detrimental to my families that are working for me. You know, I can't do that. So, you know, some people might consider you an asshole. Some people might consider you to be a stickler, but that's okay. At the end of the day, man, your bank account's what really matters, and paying your mortgage, keeping your lights on, feeding your family, that's really what the utmost priority is. So,
that's
Bezos is on point with that. Even before you told me that, I could definitely understand. It makes sense.
sense. Like, when I read it, I'm like, yo, that makes perfect. Because how I scheduled it, I wanted to break mine down by the hour. Then I read that, I'm thinking, like, I thought it was stupid. I'm like, 15 minutes, that ain't no time. Then it hit me like, yo, if you really locked in for 15 minutes consecutively, you can get some things done for real, bro. So I'm like, that's brilliant. But,
And another thing is dealing with the mental anguish, man. Yeah. Like, you know, the mental anguish of having to knock out a tedious task when you really, really, really don't want to, you know. So that next 15 minutes might having to be on a phone call with, man, Bank of America, man. I'm not trying to hear nothing y'all talking about. I got this and that going on, but I have to knock this out in order to keep operations going. That key right there on saying, you know what, I'm going to push past the mental pain. Right. That's a massive key right there, man. You got to deal with the mental anguish in this game, man. Yeah. I'm already preparing for I'm not going to say negative news, but I'm preparing for news that's going to not be the best tomorrow. And facing that reality now is kind of like, oh man, but I got to deal with it. I'm in the game. This is what I did. This is what I signed up for. So I'm going to get those emails of this not being approved or this not coming in or sorry, we missed this. It's like, okay, that's fine. Deal with that and move on. What I realize is that once you deal with the mental anguish, some way, somehow, man, the day is going to end on a positive note anyway. I haven't gone to bed just totally depressed, down and out. Ever since I started this process, because I dealt with that during the day. And when I, since I did end up knocking it out, I have no guilt behind me. So when I did close my laptop and I do turn my phone off, which you literally had to do as well too, in order to get things done. Yeah. When I do all that stuff, man, I'm in my most peaceful state of the day. So, also, yeah, turning your phone off, man. Don't get me wrong. Right. It might sound crazy. How you turn your phone off? You got to flip. You got a house being rehabbed somewhere, man, sometimes it's needed.
I know, for sure. You gotta
put it on do not disturb. Even if you hit me that two times in a row, man, I still might just be like, nah, look, bro, if it's not four times in a row, emergency, I'm not going for it.
That's why I seen the line that Kanye said on one of his new songs. He was saying, He said, I'm not mean, I'm just focused. When I heard that, I really like rest, because you would get, like you said, you would get people that hit you up, and they'll be like, if you're not answering immediately, they'd be like, damn, bro, what you on? But it's like, bro, I don't really got time to just be like, just talking leisurely for 2 hours, bro. Like, let me focus on what I'm doing, I'll get back to you. A lot of people understand that, though. So another question I had, it was regarding I forgot what it was. We were just talking about this shit too, man. I forget that. Oh yeah, so common question we always ask our guests is, you know what I'm saying, with you doing everything you're doing, like giving back, you know what I'm saying, do you feel like that's an obligation that you have? And not just to give back monetary. We're talking about time, access to resources, information. We kinda spoke on this in the beginning. We were saying how, like, if you got the game and you ain't giving, it's like you kind of corny for real, because you should be like each one teach one. But how do you feel about that? Just going up a little bit more.
Yeah, it is an obligation. You would think that once you start getting it, you want to keep getting it and accumulate as much as possible for yourself.
Right.
But that's not the way it works. Again, I don't know how this algorithm was built or what it really entails or why it is the way it is. But the more you give, from two angles, man. In business, the more you give, the more it comes back. Also, just spiritually, man, the more you give, the blessings come back in abundance.
Yeah.
And that's how I've always operated. Now, I broke down why I would each one teach one, and I will create more franchisees, more car dealers, more financial services, more Airbnb, hosts. I will create more of those because, for one, the higher you go and the more you're able to accumulate, the more I can tap into your source at the end of the day.
Right.
Two, from a spiritual perspective, it says in the Bible that the more you give, it comes back to you tenfold. And I've seen that happen. Mm-hmm. So it's a moral obligation. It's a financial obligation. You see nonprofits. Nonprofits are probably the easiest businesses to run just based off them giving. The more you give, the more funding someone will come in and give to you so that they can write it off on their taxes. So I don't like to only think about it from the business perspective, but I also like to think of it from the spiritual perspective as well, too, that the more I give, the more I will receive. And it's an easy flip. If I give $1, I'm going to get back 10. You say it's going to come back tenfold. Okay, this is the greatest man. The supernatural being that's giving me these directions. Why would I not follow? So, yeah, I'm going to give 10 and expect back 100. Maybe, like you said, not monetarily, but in an abundance of blessings. So, funnily, a quick story. Last week, I was outside of one of my shops, and I was wrapped up with my day. I'm on the go. I had to hurry up, come pick up my sons. We're about to head to soccer practice and things of that sort. And I was outside talking to a colleague, and this man walked past us. You can kind of tell, like, I'm always about greeting everybody.
Right.
It's kind of like, what's up, man? How you doing, bro? And he kept on talking, but I didn't even have a chance to do so. He was walking past us, kind of like, I want to say hi. I want to, keep walking, but we didn't end up saying anything to each other. And he just kept it, kept on going to the gas station. And he came back around. I went back into my shop. I came back out, and ironically, he was walking back to the gas station. I think he forgot something. So we've crossed paths twice. And he asked me, I had my AirPods in, I was on the phone, and he asked me, he said, man, real quick, can I just speak to you for 1 second? And to be honest, man, I'm like, man, I'm on the go. I was like, I'm really on the go, but I took out the AirPods, like, you know, what's up, what's going on, you know, holler at me. And he was like, man, the good Lord told me that I should give my tithes to you today. All the money I made today, I need to give you around 10%. So, of course, I'm thrown off like, wow. But again, is this a part of my giving and coming back tenfold? Man, I give away cookies all day. I give away sandwiches. I give away drinks. And it's like a part of my practice. Like, okay, that's a part of my bottom line budget to give away this many items today. And then is this a part of it coming back tenfold by him coming and pulling out a crispy $100 bill from his wallet and giving it to me, saying the good Lord told me to tithe to you today? So that was kind of like an example of why you should kind of keep giving, because it comes back one way or another. I could have missed pass. I could have stayed in that shop for another minute. By that time, he would have been facing the other way, walking away from the gas station. I wouldn't have saw him. That wouldn't have happened, but it all aligns so perfectly. That's that one buffer of like, you never know how it's going to come back. That was like a prime example. I didn't know it was going to come back in that fashion, you know, so. Wow. It is a moral and financial obligation to give back, man. I hope I broke it down.
For sure.
Makes sense. It sounds cliche. You got to give back. Sounds cliche, but no, you really do real. Need to.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I always say the cliches for a reason. They stand
exactly,
the time.
Bro. Real talk. That's what I learned in this game at this level now. The cliches make total sense.
And something I want to ask you, I've seen you talk a lot about your mentor on social media. And we always tell people, you know, how important it is to have a solid mentor to help guide you through, all these different things you're going through. So can you dive into that a little bit, how you feel about that?
Oh, yeah. Mentoring, I don't see how anyone could go further and go as deep into not only business, any aspect of your passion without having someone that's already been there, that has seen what it is ahead of you and coming back and telling you what it is. It only makes sense, you know. If I'm walking through an alley and someone comes back and says, yo, if you keep walking 10 steps, there's a big dog over there, you know, be careful walking through. Thank you for that advice. I know what not to do, or I know what to do. So it's the same aspect of when it comes to mentoring. I wanna listen to people, follow the direction of someone that's been where I want to go, and trust that they're going to give me the game on how to want to reach there and what happens when you do reach that destination. And then at the same time, I'm always going to be ahead of someone else. So when I do finally get to where my mentor has given me game on where I'm going, there's someone else behind me that wants to get to where I previously was. So that mentor / mentee relationship, it's like a seesaw, or it's a pendulum back and forth. It only makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that a part of you building a business and getting your corporate name and falling in with the state and getting your EIN, one of those requirements also is to have a mentor on deck even beforehand. Because, for example, let's say even with the Subway process, to be honest, I learned the game as I went along, but the guy I was buying my shops from was my mentor during this process. He's going to give me the right game because he wants to put me in position to buy his shops.
Right.
So, you know, you can't have that fear like, oh, maybe what he's giving me isn't right. No, he's been there. He's been to 26 Subways. He's selling me his shop. So he's going to make sure that whatever he tells me is going to be the correct route in order for me to eat. But at the end of the day, he's going to eat as well, too. I think mentors think like that as well. With my mentee, Chris, I don't make a dime off of anything his shop generates. I didn't make a dime off of me giving him the game to even get into that shop. But the potential we have down the line on me creating a monster out of him is just simply me going into contract with him on something, giving him some bread, and now he can go ahead and flip that. I know he has the correct route. He knows what to do to guarantee that income. So it's like I did myself a service by creating a monster out of him. You know? Mm-hmm. And also just being a mentee at all levels as well, too. I'm a mentee. I'm not a multimillionaire. I'm not a multi-billionaire. I don't have five kids. I only have three. What happens? How does life operate when I do get there? Can you please guide me? You know, father of five, can you please guide me? Multi-billionaire, can you please guide me? You know, so you always want to remain receptive and always remain in that mentee role, but always know that you are a mentor as well too. Even if it goes just by age, you know, you may not have any businesses. You may just be a, you know, working a 9-to-5 may be your lane. And to be honest, that's another thing, man. I don't think everyone's not built to be an entrepreneur. You might be the greatest at being a 9-to-5 worker. You could be the seed man. You could seed all of our, fund all of our projects as an entrepreneur, you know. But back on topic is, you know, you just may be that person, but you still have someone that, that looks up to you because of where you're at. You may be just that manager in that company, and he may be one to want to be a manager. Give back to him and give him that game on what it took for you to become a manager at AutoZone. And give back to him and let him know what it takes to what it took for you to become the CEO of this company. Fine. You know, it's not just all, it's just not in accordance to entrepreneurship. It's all aspects of life. You want to be a mentor. You want to be a mentee. A mentor is mandatory. Having a mentee is kind of discretionary, but I would suggest it as well too, because you just, that's just another machine. That's you operating outside of your body in a sense, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I always refer back to my mentee, Chris. He was one that followed the game step by step. Now, you know, there were some parts of the game where he didn't, you know, follow it to the T, and he hit those roadblocks, but I'm kind of glad he did, because that finally taught him, like, you know, I'm going to listen to Ralph 100% right now. He's been there, done that. He said, you know, write the letter A, and I wrote it, and I got the result. I'm going to do that from here forward. I wrote Z when he told me to write A. I had a little hiccup. I can't afford that. I'm not even risking that no more. Mm-hmm. So, and now the higher he goes, the higher I go. Mm-hmm. He's always going to remain loyal. I would hope so. He'll always look to me as being further ahead and saying, yo, I want to do this. Yo, fund me, please, man. You know, and therefore, I have another avenue of a solid investment to go into. So.
That's real, yeah, man. That cycle is so important. I feel like that cycle got to continue on. You start off as a mentee, then you mentor somebody. As long as I think you just muted.
Yeah, I did. Oh. I wanted to get my son a little.
Okay. My bad.
Wrench it real quick, man. Try to keep it flowing.
Yeah. But I think we only have. I know you have like one more question, right?
The last one was just a simple question, but I know we didn't mention your clothing line. So if you could just go in and let us know the mission behind the clothing line brand, and just give us more info on
that. Man, so Royal Dynamite, we're about to hit the 10-year mark next year. That's my baby. That's my fourth son in the sense. That's actually my oldest son in a sense. It's older than all of my children, but I have two partners in regards to that, and it's such a special brand. So for one, this is a T-shirt. This is one of the T-shirts we made. See the Freetown across it. Mm-hmm. Freetown is the capital city of Sierra Leone, where we're all from. This has become an iconic tee. So iconic from a few different angles. All the biggest influencers, even down to government officials, rock this tee or rock this brand, because for one, it's stigmatized. You know, we're from America. We're based in America. We aim to be like the Ralph Lauren of Sierra Leone, where we're coming with utmost quality screen printing. Our creative ideas are out of the norm from the normal fashion you would see in the country. You know, we introduce streetwear. You know, a lot of there's really any streetwear brands, you know, out there in the country. Third, for us to rep for the country and rep for the city by putting this on a tee and having every single of the hottest influencers rock it, and kind of put the brand at a certain level and plateau where, you know, ultimate excellence is expected. So we're about to hit the 10-year mark in regards to this. We're a one-on-one, thank you. We're a one-on-one brand where, you know, he just had to get his shine.
So it's been 10 minutes of fame. We ain't mad at him. I feel
it. Hey, man, I love to have my son see me in action like this, man. Yeah, and they always remember this one growing up. Like, yo, I remember Pops doing this in the living room.
You know, right, so. Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, man. But we're a one-for-one T-shirt line where we give for every product we sell. So, for example, every one of these shirts we sold, we took an educational package, which consisted of a notebook, a pencil, a sling bag, notebook, pencil, and eraser, and gave it to a child in need via various nonprofit organizations, various schools, and five different countries. We've done Sierra Leone, Dominican Republic, Ghana, the U.S., and Tanzania. So you know, for every collection, we'll choose an organization or we'll choose what school and things that sort that we want to give back to. And of course, that pushes sales. People want to help and support by buying the product. It pushes the product out there. And then at the same time, we're able to help and give back and do it big. And one of my partners, she just got her PhD from Cornell. So we all wanted to individually get life together and boost our personal brands. So when we put our machines behind this machine, it really reigns worlds. Right. It really reigns supreme. So that's exactly what's going on now. I plan on involving the merchandise within the Subway brand. I've already previewed like some snapback hats that we've done where, you know, first of all, just flipping the uniform model via my brand. You don't have snapback hats, you know, within Subway. Employees don't wear those, but my shop's employees do wear those, and it's my brand on the back.
Wow.
You know, exactly, man. So we plan on doing that, eventually getting a collection pushed via my brand. And wild idea, man. I'm not gonna ink this or nothing like that. It could just be a wild idea that I'm gonna give y'all. But one wild idea that may come to fruition, may not, is having these brands utilize the Marathon clothing technology and maybe having that in the shop itself as well too, with maybe a Subway next door. You know what I'm saying? So lots of different things in the books. Yeah, lots of different ideas we plan on working with the book. Royal Dynamite is that, baby. Royal Dynamite is that. That just like every rapper you see has to sell merch.
Right.
Every entertainer has merch line. This is like our version of that merch line, but just with so much more flavor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're like, you ever heard of Tom's Shoes?
Tom's Shoes. Okay. Yeah, the shoes. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we're like the Tom's and T-shirts. We actually collaborated with them before.
Wow.
Down the line. Yeah, we're like the Tom's and T-shirts. So for every T-shirt we give back, for every pair of shoes, they would give one. But with us, we're transparent with it, man. We ain't never seen... Mm-hmm. You know, anytime shoes given to them kids, but they say so with us now. We actually on ground level.
Yeah, that's cold. That's cold.
Giving the stuff back, man. Yeah, there's no cap on that.
That's cold. Cause, and it's funny because, like, I remember in the beginning of the year, I kept saying how entrepreneurs, like, are the new rappers, and they got to treat themselves as such. Yeah. And some people was, like, confused when I said that. I'm like, not that we got to carry ourselves as rappers, but how a rapper got a whole entire circle around them with merch and products, services. You gotta do the same thing. Even if you just have one business or whatever, you need to create something around that, like entirely product, services, everything.
Yeah, man. Yeah, product, service, PR.
All right.
Digital marketing, you know what I'm saying? Handle my social media, website, web developers, all that sorts, man. So it's different now, but we understand that we're in a different time now. This isn't, you know, the early 2000s where that entrepreneur, all he needed was an office and a business card and he was good. You know, it's different now when it comes to everything. So,
before we let you go, we just want to say we definitely appreciate you taking time to come on the podcast and chop it up with us, man. Like we definitely appreciate that, man. And we love what you're doing, bro. We support you with whatever you're doing. If you ever need anything, feel free to reach out to us, and we definitely got you, bro. We love what you're doing.
Yeah, most definitely, man. And like I told you in the beginning of this, I'm not sure if we're recording, but kudos to you and what you're doing, man. Young brother, man. To be honest, man, you are a lot of this youth out there. You know, they don't have an opportunity or anything like that coming out of high school, college. So what they do is they go enlist.
Mm-hmm.
But you took that a further step saying, okay, I went and did that, but that's not where I stopped. And not that that was a bad thing.
Right.
I came back, I used what I made and all that stuff. And now look at where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Two, when it comes to the outreach and follow-up, man, every shot you don't take is an automatic miss. Same thing on my end. You didn't have to DM me. Oh, man, Ralph, he get 1,000 DMs. He ain't going to hit me back, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, hit you back in, it might have taken time.
Right.
You followed up accordingly, and look, you got the result that you wholeheartedly wanted.
Yeah.
So that's the same thing we got to teach the youth, man. Every shot you don't take is an automatic miss. I'd rather take the shot, and if I do miss, and hey, so be it. So kudos on that as well, too, man.
Yeah.
Keep the union going, bro. You know, I can always tell you, man, that queen is the most important piece on the chessboard, bro.
Facts.
That's a fact. I mean, literally, you play chess, she can do whatever. You know what I'm saying? The king got to, you know, make certain moves. The queen can go wherever she wants. So on that, man, just every aspect is already set up for you, bro. I definitely look forward to tapping in with you on the real estate angle. I see you killing. I see you building things up from that end. Definitely will aim to get some more of my brothers on the podcast. I'm going to definitely push the podcast as well and support as well.
Definitely, bro. Yeah, we appreciate that for real. And before we let you go, do you mind plugging in? If people want to find more about you, find out where they can get merch or any information, do you mind just plugging all your stuff?
Yeah, man. Definitely follow me on Instagram, at Ralph Diesel. Website's on the way. It should be up within the next few weeks. But I'm going to put that URL out there as well, too, RaphaelSay.com. RaphaelSaye.com. Also follow my brands. Follow my two shops. First off, my two shops are the only two shops out of almost 50,000 worldwide that Subway follows. So at Subway on Hellman and at Subway on Rochester. Also follow my t-shirt line at Royal Dynamite. Look out for that. Definitely buy merch from that. Support. We're definitely in the rebranding process. So look out for that. And yeah, that's pretty much it, man. Lots more coming. We definitely are going on tour with this. We definitely giving back a lot of this game to the people, to the culture. So definitely be on the lookout. Follow me on IG. We got a lot of rebrand coming up. A lot of courses on the way. We hitting lots of different cities. And we definitely want to get you, get you guys all strapped up, man. So
yeah, definitely, bro.
That's it, man.
Definitely, bro. Well, that's all we got for you, bro. We'll definitely be keeping in touch with you, man. I got your info, so we'll definitely be keeping in touch, man. Bro.
Most definitely. What part of the city you in, bro?
I'm in SAC.
Okay. Yeah, oh, so you up north?
Yeah, I'm a Northern Cal. Right, yeah. But I be in SoCal. We be in SoCal often, though.
Okay, bro, whenever you come down to SoCal, man, just touch my line, man. I know I'm kind of tough to catch. I'm about an hour out. Yeah. I'm about an hour out of L.A., but if you're ever in L.A., man, just tap my line. What's up, bro? I'm out here for the weekend. You free? Yeah. I'll let you know. Yes or no, definitely try to link up, man.
Definitely, bro. Appreciate you, fam.
So, man. Bless up, bro. Have a good one, man.
You too, bro.
All right, take care.
All right. Peace. Well, that was another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast with Ralph Diesel. Like he said, he gave his info for all y'all that want to tap in with him, get more info about certain things or whatever. But in wrapping up, for those who don't know, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Xavier C. Miller. You can find Deanna on Instagram and Twitter at Deanna.
Deanna Kent on Instagram, or
Kent
Real Estate, and Twitter is
Deanna
S. Kent.
Yep. And that's all we got for y'all. Appreciate y'all for listening to another dope episode. We'll see y'all next episode. Peace.
On the way to the big check. You ain't know I'm up next, but I'm on the way. You ain't take risks cause you too afraid. I'ma just eat till I'm overweight. On the way.
A whole lot of shit on the way.
On the way.